Good morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord. So good to see each and every one that is here this morning. We do welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we pray that the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house this morning. To those that are online as well, we welcome you. Pray that the Lord will bless you as you join with us, even in our morning worship. Do remember the services as they continue throughout today. We have our evening service here in the church at 7 p.m. with the season of prayer up in the upper room at 6:30. And this evening we're looking at the topic, when the world is against you. When the world is against you. So do make that effort even to come back again this evening and invite and encourage others to come and to join with us in the house of the Lord. We meet again on Wednesday evening for the Bible study and for the prayer meeting at 8 p.m. And as we mentioned and as we commenced last Wednesday evening, we're now have started a series in the valleys in Scripture. And so even we encourage God's people, young and old alike, to come and to be found in God's house every Wednesday evening. Can we say also on Wednesday that the month of May is our opportunity once again to be on the radio broadcast for Radio Star every Wednesday afternoon, just around 3 o'clock. And we do encourage you to remember those meetings and prayer, or those messages, as they go out online every Wednesday in the month of May. Then for the members of Session, this Friday evening is Presbytery, and this Friday it will be held in our Dungannon Church at 8 p.m. Then on Saturday the 7th commences, on behalf of our Mission Board, the Mission Vision, the little cards have been in the front porch, we do remind you of those meetings, commencing Saturday the 7th of May at 7:30. And then Monday the 9th, right through that week, and right even into next Saturday the 14th as well. We do remind you of those special meetings, and if you can get along to them, apart from whenever we have meetings in our own church, we look for you to be joining with us here in God's house. But whenever there's not meetings here, then certainly if you can get along to Lisburn to those meetings for the missionary work, we do encourage you to do so. There's different preachers night by night from our mission board, and certainly it will be a blessed time, and we commend it to you. Then the services next Sunday, beginning with the Sabbath school in the morning at 10:30, and in the normal times of worship, 11:30 and 7 p.m. I'll be here in the morning to minister God's word, and then next Sunday evening is a special testimony meeting. The Reverend William McDermott, retired minister from our Money Slane congregation, will be along to give a personal word of testimony. Do invite others to come into these special testimony meetings. Encourage your friends, your family, even to come and to hear God's servant as he relates what the Lord has done in his life. We remind you as well that next Sunday is the Building Fund Sunday. And then, of course, remember the special meetings. This is the 1st of May, so we remind you of all of the special meetings coming up in the month of May, in the will of the Lord, the testimony next Sunday evening. And then the following Sunday afternoon, Sunday the 15th, is a special afternoon service marking the 40th anniversary of the church building being opened here. And the Reverend John Greer will be along to minister at that service at 3:30 on the 15th. And then for the ladies, on the 19th of the month is that rescheduled ladies meeting. And we do encourage all of the ladies to set aside that time to come and to fellowship together. There is some magazines in the front porch, which we brought over on Wednesday evening. If you haven't got your copy, please do take them as you leave this morning. The latest Let the Bible Speak magazine, and there's also an update from FAME. And then as one mission is finishing in Auchnacloy, we do encourage you to remember in prayer a special two-week mission that is commencing today up in the Shankill with our brothers Colin Maxwell and Noel Shields. They've been evangelising for the last week up there, knocking the doors and inviting people to come in. And now for the next 2 weeks they'll be ministering the gospel night by night. And we do encourage you to remember our brethren in prayer, that the Lord will bless them, that the Lord will use them there in the Shankill area. We're going to commence our worship now. We're turning to the Psalm section and to the Psalm 42. The Psalm 42, it commences on the page 38 and continues on page 39 of your hymn book. The Psalm 42 is, pants the heart for water brooks. My soul pants, Lord, for thee. For God, the living God, I thirst. God's courts, when shall I see? We'll sing the opening 6 verses of the psalm together. The Psalm 42. seek the Lord together in prayer. Seek for his blessing once again upon our coming together this morning. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, I bow before thee. We commend to thy most holy presence in and through the precious, not all-sufficient name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, for the opportunity this day to enter into thy precious house. To enter in, O God, even as Bunyan described it, into Palace Beautiful. To come aside from this world and have this special time with thy people, even around thy precious word, and singing thy praise. We do rejoice, O God, that thou hast set thy love upon us. We thank thee, O God, for salvation. We thank thee this day, O God, for the glorious work that Christ accomplished upon the cross. We thank thee, O God, even there upon the cross, he shed his blood for the remission of our sins. He bore our sin in his own body. He underwent the wrath of his Father that we might go free. Father, we thank thee this day that we have been justified. We have been declared righteous in the sight of God because of what Christ has done for us. We give thee and we give, O God, all of the praise and all of the glory, all of the honor, all of our worship unto him. We say we love thee because thou didst first love us. And Father, we think even of those words that we've just been singing. And Lord, how we must have that thirst within us, even as a hart panteth for the water brooks. O God, may we have that spiritual thirst for the springs of living water. Lord, may we not be longing or thirsting after the things of this world, but rather may we be longing for the spring of that living water that is found in Christ alone. Lord, we thank thee this day for another opportunity to be in thy house. We thank thee, O God, for the meaning and the specialness of this day. This is the Lord's day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And, O God, we will rejoice. We will be glad in it. And we acknowledge this day that we have so much to praise, so much to give thee thanks for. We have so much to lift our Ebenezers up and to cry, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And, Father, we thank thee for another week. We thank thee for another week of the help of the Lord and the hand of the Lord upon us. Another week when the Lord has drawn near, when the Lord has met our need, when the Lord has proved sufficient once again. We do acknowledge that thou art a faithful God. We acknowledge, O God, that thou hast never forgotten about us, that thou hast never abandoned us, that thou hast never left us, that thou hast never, O God, turned away from us. Lord, we feel thee, but thou hast never failed us. We thank thee. We praise thee afresh. Lord, remember us as we're found in thy house this day. We do pray for a special sense of thy presence both morning and indeed in the evening time as well. We thank thee, O God, for each one that is here. We rejoice in seeing each one gather to thy house. We pray for thy blessing to be upon every individual. We pray, O God, that even today in this house, that they will hear that still small voice of the Lord speaking to their hearts. That there will be that encouragement, O God, for thy people. There will be that building up, O God, of them and their most precious faith. Lord, we pray that for those, O God, maybe amongst us outside of Christ, those maybe that have grown cold, that have wandered into the bypath meadow, Lord, that thou wilt draw especially near to them, that thou wilt work within them, and, O God, that thou wilt do that work that is needed, that work that only thou canst do. Lord, we thank thee for the blessed Holy Spirit. We thank and praise thee for the great energy, the great work that he undertakes. We do rejoice, O God, that he is the one who applies the word. He is the one, O God, who works within us. And Father, we pray for that working even today. We pray for blessed times. We pray, O God, for that nearness of Almighty God. We pray, O God, for that revelation, even afresh, of Christ in the midst to each one of us, that we will know that the Lord is here. We will know that the Lord is here to bless. Lord, remember us, we pray thee. Remember our congregation. We think of those who can't be here. Lord, undertake for those. We pray for those that are laid aside at this time of sickness. Lord, that I will touch them. That I, O God, will minister to their very particular needs. That even those, O God, in hospital and nursing home, Lord, that they will know that touch of the Lord. They will know that improvement in health. And that they will know that the Lord is with them. Lord, remember as well those that are sick. Lord, those that are waiting even for treatments. Those that are waiting, O God, for that intervention from the medical people. Lord, we just pray that Thou wilt give grace, give help, give wisdom. And, O God, rule and overrule in accordance with Thy divine will. Lord, be near to us. Bless all of the work of this church. Lord, we pray for it. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt give the increase in the days that lie ahead. That Thou wilt yet, O God, send us those showers of blessing. That Thou wilt yet, O God, enter in and break down barriers and break down the grip of the devil and take it even away from homes. That the glorious light of the gospel will shine in. That souls will be saved. That backsliders will be restored. That families will be united in Christ. O God, hear and answer our prayers. Remember our land. Remember our denomination even in it. Lord, we pray for every servant of Thine. We think even of our brother Higgins as he commences his ministry there in Lima Valley today. Lord, bless him. And O God, use him in that part, even of this land, as he preaches forth the gospel. Father, we pray for souls even to be added unto the church, even in these days, O God, we ask Thee. Lord, remember all of our ministers. Remember our students. Remember, O God, our missionaries. Remember each one, we pray Thee. Remember the cause of Christ. Lord, those for whom Christ has died. We pray and we rejoice, O God, not one will be left behind, but each and every one will be brought into the family of God. Lord, may we see even the outworking of that in our days. May we see, O God, the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing those, O God, that are in darkness, bring them unto Thyself. O Father, hear and answer prayer. Glorify Thy Son, even in our midst we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The hymn 247. The hymn 247, the page is 276. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for immortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. 247, again we'll stand as we sing, please. Amen. We turn to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. It's a very special psalm in that this psalm was sung at the opening of the temple. Whenever Solomon built the temple, this song was sung. And it was also sung by Jehoshaphat's armies whenever the children of Ammon and of Moab came to attack them. And this psalm really is split into two. And we're going to do it this morning. We're not going to sing it now. Don't be worrying as you're sitting there. But whenever it was brought to the temple, the main singer, as it were, or the captain in the army, said the first part of each verse, and then the rest of the singers or the rest of the congregation then would answer with the words, "For his mercy endureth forever." So what I will do in each of the verses as we go down through it, I'll read the opening part. And then you simply respond with the easy words that are the same every verse, "For his mercy endureth forever." And hopefully we'll all stay together as we sing it. We haven't practiced it, obviously, but as we go through each verse, if you all say it together this morning. So Psalm 136, beginning at the verse 1. "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O give thanks unto the God of gods. O give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone doeth great wonders. To him that by wisdom made the heavens. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters. To him that made great lights. The sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, and brought out Israel from among them, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him which led his people through the wilderness. To him which smote great kings, and slew famous kings. Sion, king of the Amorites. And Og, the king of Bashan. And gave their land for an inheritance. Even an heritage unto Israel his servant. Who remembered us in our low estate. And hath redeemed us from our enemies. Who giveth food to all flesh. O give thanks unto the God of heaven." Amen. That was pretty good with no practice. But you can see even how special that psalm would have been. Both in praise as he opened the temple. Because it gives you the entire history of God's dealings with mankind, both in creation and bring them out of Egypt and even bring them into the promised land and the defeat of all of the kings, all of the armies that came against them. You can see even the importance of praise, but you can also see the importance of the armies of Jehoshaphat singing it, because what an encouragement that would have been to them as they were facing down the battlefield at the children of Ammon and of Moab, to be reminded afresh that the Lord God of heaven slew the famous kings. He slew the king of the Amorites. He slew the king of Bashan. He gave them the land. What a blessing it is to be reminded that our God is all powerful, that our God is all prevailing, and there's none will ever defeat him. There's none will ever bring his people to the place of defeat. Our victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that is this morning. We're going to sing one more hymn together just before we come to the preaching of God's word. The hymn 212. The hymn 212. Page 261. There is no love like the love of Jesus. Never to fade or fall, till into the fold of the peace of God he has gathered us all. 212. Remain seated for the first three verses, and then we'll stand for the verse 4. Stand for verse 4. I invite you now to open your book or your Bibles, the book of Ruth, the book of Ruth in the chapter 2. Last time we were in this book together, we gave a very brief overview of chapter 2 as a whole. And this morning now we start to dig a little deeper into that which God has for us, even in this chapter. Ruth chapter 2, we're going to read the opening 11 verses together. In verse 1, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of the corn, after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came, and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field, belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And so she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. And said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou takest knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me, all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. I want to commence this morning looking at the Christ-likeness of Boaz. The Christ-likeness of Boaz. Let's just still ourselves and seek the blessing of God upon the preaching. Father in heaven, we do rejoice that the goodness and the mercy of Almighty God endureth forever. Lord, that mercy which the children of Israel experienced in their day, and that they could sing about, that they could rejoice in. We can sing about it, we can rejoice about it even today. We thank thee there is no love like the love of Jesus. There is no goodness, there is no faithfulness, there is no mercy, there is no grace like the grace of God. And Father, we pray for the preaching of thy word even now. We pray, O God, that if there be one in our gathering, or even listening online, that has never experienced the grace of God, that this will be the day when they come to Christ. This will be the day when they turn from their sin. When they place all of their faith, all of their hope, all of their love in Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, hear us and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a young Buddhist on one occasion who made a very careful study of Christianity. And as the Buddhist was studying Christianity, he spent much time and paid particular attention to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. One occasion he was speaking to a Christian regarding his study that he had been undertaking, and he said to the Christian, he says, Your Christ is wonderful. Oh, he is so wonderful, but you Christians are not like him. You know, without knowing it, the Buddhist had pointed out the greatest need of present day Christianity. It's the greatest need of each and every one of us who professes Christ as our own and our personal Savior, that we would be Christ-like. That we would be more and more like Christ. That if we bear His name, if we call ourselves Christian, that we would be more and more like Jesus. One missionary magazine put it on one occasion. They said, in the Christian life, we must lose to gain. We must give to obtain. We must be last to be first. We must be humble to be exalted. We must be least to be greatest. We must die to live. In other words, we must be Christ-like. We must die more and more unto self and unto sin. We must live more and more unto righteousness and unto the things of God. And as you continue to make your way through the book of Ruth, and as we do so together even as a congregation, we are coming now and we have entered into chapter 2. We're being presented with another of the main characters within this wonderful book. This man Boaz now comes to the fore. And out of all of the individuals in the book of Ruth, right from Ruth 1 right through to the end of Ruth 4, and all of the different individuals that are brought to our attention, there is none that is more Christ-like than Boaz. Not Ruth, not Naomi, not any of the others that will be mentioned or have been mentioned, but out of them all, the greatest picture that we have of Christ in the book of Ruth is found in this man Boaz. Of course, he is the one who is known as the kinsman redeemer. He is the one before the end of the book, and I'm hoping I'm not spoiling it for anybody, but hopefully you've read the book of Ruth. You know that Boaz is the one who will purchase even the land. He will purchase the estates in regards to Elimelech, and he will be that redeemer even for Ruth. But even as you come into chapter 2, and as we are introduced to the man, even by what is said in those opening verses of chapter 2, and as you go through his life, and as you look at this man Boaz, time and again, you're brought to a wonderful type, a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ. The name Boaz itself, it means in him is strength. And even in that name, and even in the meaning of that name, whenever individuals thought of Boaz, and whenever they heard his name, they thought in him is strength, immediately their minds were drawn to Christ. Moses, in his song, after the Israelites had been brought out of the land of Egypt, after they had been brought across the Red Sea, Moses sang in Exodus 15, the verse 2, he says, "The Lord is my strength and song, he is become my salvation." And that's really what Boaz's name means. In him is strength. What a man Boaz was in Bethlehem. Not because of family, fame, or fortune, but what a man he was because of his Christ-likeness. What an impact, what a testimony he had, even amongst the others, and we'll go through it even both today and in the next week, God willing, as well, as we look at him, as we look at his speech, as we look at his manner, as we look at how he conducts himself. This is a man who showed forth Christ in everything. This is a man who showed forth Christ everywhere. He was the same regardless of who he was before. He was the same regardless of where he was. This was a man who was Christ-like. What do you see firstly in the verse 1? And it's only the first point we're going to get through this morning. When you see the manner of the man, it tells us in verse 1, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. No, we're told here, and the first thing that really speaks to us is his gains. His gains. We're told that he is a mighty man of wealth. He's a man of great substance. He is a man who had plenty. In spite of the years of famine, remember, of course, the famine came upon the land of Israel and upon that land of Canaan, upon the city of Bethlehem. Elimelech and Naomi had raced away from it. They had got out of that country because of famine. And yet, in spite of famine, Boaz was rich. In spite of all of the hardship, in spite of the lack of food, in spite of the lack of bread for such a long time, yet we come to a man who is mighty in wealth. Whilst others floundered and even forsook the land of Israel, Boaz flourished. Yes, we read in the chapter 1 of how the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. But Boaz was rich. Boaz was wealthy even before this particular harvest. Even though now the fields were full, even though now the reapers were out, even though now the widows were out gathering, everyone was busy, yet when Boaz comes to the field, he is not looking in the field saying, "I hope to make money here." He is coming to the field saying, "I already have my money. I already have prosperity." And isn't that true of our Lord? Our God in heaven is rich and full of honor and full of glory. Our God is mighty regardless of the state of this world. Our God does not increase his wealth and riches, spiritually speaking, just because a revival happens. Even in the darkness of this world, our God is still all-powerful. Our God still has the riches and glory. Our God does not have anything added to him because of seasons of blessing. Yes, the land around us may be in times of spiritual famine and dearth, but our God is not poor. Psalm 112, the verse 3, it says, "Wealth and riches shall be in his house. His righteousness endureth forever." There's yet another of the characteristics of God. We read it together in the psalm this morning. The mercy of God endures forever. There we have the righteousness of God endures forever. His wisdom endures forever. His grace endures forever. All of the great characteristics of God endure forever regardless of what is happening in this earth. Regardless of how poor a state, spiritually speaking, we find ourselves in, God is still rich. God is still plenteous. As I said, just as a visitation of God upon his people and giving them bread did not make Boaz rich, so too does times of visitation not increase the wealth of our God in heaven. But rather times of visitation, spiritually speaking, times whenever revival blessing comes, what does it show? It magnifies the glory of God. Those are times, revival is times whenever God's presence is felt in a real way. Men and women come to an understanding of who God is. Men and women come to an understanding, number one, God is holy. Number two, God is gracious. Number three, God is long-suffering. Number four, God is a God of salvation. And in those times of revival, then what is brought to man is how great, how honorable, how glorious is our God in heaven. We have the gains of Boaz, but we also see, secondly, that Boaz was a giver. Boaz was a giver. Because it tells us, even in the verses we read, that Boaz was kind. Yeah, you can say Boaz is very kind. Boaz was generous towards others. Here he came to his fields and he is allowing even the reapers that are there. The law, as it were, has been laid down to the reapers, even to the chief reaper. When a widow comes, allow her to come in. Whenever a widow comes and those strangers come to lift the scraps from the fields, allow them to come in. Now, whilst this was the law, we mentioned it before, Deuteronomy 24:19. The law stated, "When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go in again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow." But remember, this is the time of the judges. Whenever Ruth comes to Bethlehem and Boaz is there, this is the time of the judges. This is when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Not every farmer obeyed the law. Not every reaper obeyed the law. Not every landowner kept that which was commanded to them. There were many who kept the widows out. There were many who turned the strangers away. There were many who said, "You're not coming into my field. You go and find somewhere else." And yet Boaz, not only did he keep the law, but he was willing to give and to give and to give to those who had need. Boaz was one who kept the law perfectly. And even in his giving, he went far beyond that which she was even entitled to. Because as the law stated, she could come in and lift the scraps. Those little bits that fell to the ground, she had a right, both as a stranger and as a widow, she had a right to come in and to lift the scraps to survive upon. And yet Boaz went far beyond that. Why? He brought her to lunch. At lunchtime, she was welcome to come and to sit down. And who was the one who handed her the food? Even as we read on before in chapter 2, Boaz was the one who actually handed the food to her himself. He was the one who dipped, as it were, and brought her the corn, brought her the different provisions. He was the one who gave it from his own hand to her. He was the one who invited her, "There's the water barrels. When you're thirsty, you make sure you drink from my water. And if you drink it all, don't worry, my reapers will fill it again." He is the one even that commanded his men and said, "Make sure whenever you're dropping, drop extra. Make sure this widow has plenty to lift. Make sure this widow has plenty to keep her." And he went further again, because we read even that verse, he told her to stay fast even by his own reapers. "You come back tomorrow. And you come back the next day. And you come back every day of this harvest. Don't you be going anywhere else. You stay with my reapers. You stay in my field. I will every single day give you from my own hand, from my own field, from my own resources." Now, I couldn't help but think of Boaz's descendant, David. How David treated Mephibosheth. We looked at that story, that wonderful story before. Of how David went that extra mile to bring Mephibosheth to him. He brought him and he gave him that place, the daily fellowship, the daily communion, the daily provision at the king's table. David said, "Every day you eat here." And here we have Boaz stating even the exact same to Ruth. He says, "Every day you come here, I'll give you every single day." Isn't that what Christ does for his people? Christ, of course, he was the one just like Boaz. We have that picture there. Boaz kept the law. Christ kept the law perfectly. Christ fulfilled the law. Christ even redeemed us with his precious blood. And then not only did he do that, but then he continues to bless us. Every single day, even as Psalm 68 and verse 19 reminds us, that wonderful verse there that the psalmist says, "Blessed be the Lord." Why? He daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. And here was Boaz saying to Ruth, "Ruth, every day you come here, and every day I will meet your need. Every day I'll fill your hand, as it were. Every day I'll ensure your stomach is full. Every day I'll meet your every single need. You come here." Boaz knew what it was to give, to give, to give. And he never sought payment. Never once did he say to Ruth, "Ruth, you owe me." Even though it cost him every day. Cost him produce because they were dropping more than they should have. Cost him food at the dinner table because he was handed it to a stranger. It cost the time even of the reapers that he was paying, because the extra water that she drank, the other workers had to go and use their time to fill the barrels again. All of these other things, all of these minute things, as we could maybe look upon them and say, well, they're not really much. You add them all together, they're all costing Boaz. They're costing Ruth nothing. Never sought payment or anything in return. Isn't that a wonderful picture again of Christ? Christ gives us salvation. Doesn't look payment. Christ gives us peace with his Father. He's never once said, "Right, you owe me." Christ gives us all of the blessings, all of the benefits, even every day. He daily loadeth us with benefits. And never once does he hold out the hand and go, "Right, you owe." The God of our salvation gives and gives. Surely we can say with the hymn writer, that with Christ his love hath no limit, his grace hath no measure. Doesn't matter how long you're in the Christian life, it doesn't matter how much of the Lord's blessings you've experienced, you'll never get to the bottom of the barrel. You'll never get to the max, as it were, of his limits. He giveth and he giveth, and even those times when you need him more than others, and you, as it were, nestle deeper into the loving arms of Christ, and you experience a greater grace than maybe before, yet that does not mean there's less grace for the rest of your life. He has grace upon grace to give. He just gives and gives and gives to his people. Boaz had gains. Boaz was a giver. But then I want you to see as well the verse 10. Boaz, even as we've mentioned briefly there about grace, Boaz had grace. Verse 10, Ruth, she falls on her face. She bows herself to the ground and she said unto him, "Why? Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger." No, Ruth can't believe it. What Ruth experiences at the hands of Boaz is nothing but mercy and grace. Yes, Naomi had been good to her. Naomi had been kind, had been loving as a mother-in-law. She had done everything she could since the moment that she was brought into that family and married into that family. Naomi had been a loving mother-in-law to her. And I've no doubt as well her own family in the land of Moab had been there for her, had cared for her as she grew up. And she had the love of her husband Mahlon. And you can say surely even that was special. There was a love, there was a bond between husband and wife. And yet what she experienced at the hands of Boaz, what she enjoyed at the hands of Boaz was different. This is something new. This was something unique. What she experienced at Boaz's hand, she had never, ever experienced before. She had experienced love. She had experienced kindness. And yet when Boaz came and Boaz just showered her with blessing, and Boaz offered her everything, take as much food as you need, take as much water, stay here, work for me, have everything you need, she falls on her face. Why? Why have I experienced such grace? I'm a stranger. I'm not even of your people. And yet you have just opened up your arms and opened up, as it were, your storehouses, opened up your provisions and just said, take. Boaz showed such grace towards her. His interest, his concern was towards her. Remember, she is a nobody. She's a stranger in the land. She's a widow. She has nothing. She has no place in society. Nothing for her. No one to stand for her. And yet Boaz invests in her his time, his attention, his provision. He invests it all in one who is worth nothing. Gave her that place to stay, to work. He gave her the food personally. He was the one who actually reached her the parched corn to suffice her. He's the one who actually invites her to drink. He doesn't simply send a servant, go and tell that woman she can feed off my table or drink out of my barrels. He says it himself to her. He personally ensured her protection in the field, that nothing would hinder her or harm her. He personally went to his reapers, told them, don't touch her, don't rebuke her, don't hinder her in any way. You watch out for her, you care for her.
He did it all. In spite of the fact there was no cost in her, but all in him. That's grace. What is grace? The unmerited favour of God. And Boaz shows it to her. You know, that's what each person receives in Christ when they come to him. Unsaved today, that's what you experience whenever you come to Christ. Whenever you come in repentance and faith, and you come simply confessing yourself, even as you are, Lord, I am a stranger to you. I am nothing but a sinner. And the Lord just gives grace. What a man Boaz truly was in that town. Yet I want to leave you just with this one thought. This one question. Naomi knew Boaz. We see that in verse 1. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. We see it as well in the verse 20. Down near the bottom of verse 20, Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto me, one of our next kinsmen. Naomi knew who Boaz was. Naomi knew of his wealth. She would have known his character. She would have known his willingness. She would have known his ability to help. And yet she never went to him. She never went to him. She confessed, even as she came back into Bethlehem, there at the end of chapter 1, the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Boaz had plenty. She was empty. She never went to him. Even when Ruth got up that morning and said, Mother, I'm going to go and work. Naomi never tells her, go to Boaz. Naomi does not say to her, right, Ruth, go to my kinsman, go to my family, go and find Boaz, go to his field. I guarantee you Boaz will take care of you. Naomi just sends her out, go my daughter. And it tells us even in that verse as we read it, the verse number 3, her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. She did not go there because Naomi told her to. Her hap, in other words, you could say it just happened that she ended up in Boaz's field. God's providence led her and brought her to Boaz. Naomi didn't guide her there. Yet Naomi knew her. Naomi knew Boaz. Naomi knew all about him. And yet Naomi never went to him. And Naomi never told Ruth to go to him. Why? Isn't that the sad truth of so many today? Even in Northern Ireland. There's so many today in Northern Ireland who have grown up, so many individuals who went through Sunday schools, children's meetings, all across this country, and they know and they were taught from a knee high up how good Christ is. How amazing his love is. How gracious he is. How long suffering he is. How full of love and plenteous in mercy the Lord Jesus Christ is. He can take the vilest offender, the most wicked of individuals. He can wash them, save them, cleanse them, change them, renew them. It's all of the blessings. And yet how many never go to him? They remain spiritually bankrupt. depraved in sin. In spite of all of the years learning and knowing, Christ is the all-sufficient Savior. Christ can save from sin. Christ can keep His people. Christ can bless His people. And yet how many just go, no, I'll just stay miserable. I'll just stay in my sin. I'll just be empty. I wake up on a Sunday morning, Saturday morning, just wrecked with sin. Instead of enjoying all that Christ can offer. Remember, Naomi had returned to Bethlehem. That's where Boaz was. She came to the very town where Boaz lived, and yet she never went to him. He was near at hand. She didn't go. My friend, let me say this today. Christ is here. Jesus is passing. You're in His house. You're under the sound of His word. If you find yourself this morning and you're honest before God, you're still in your sin. If you're honest in state and be honest before God, the world has given you nothing. You're empty. Why will you not come to the one who is full of grace, plenteous in mercy? In Bethlehem there was no one like Boaz. And yet Naomi didn't go. There is no one in this world like Christ. There's no man, there's no woman. There's no religion, there's no false god. There's none like Jesus Christ. Will you come to Him? Even now, will you come? Taste, see that the Lord is good. Because blessed is the man trusteth in Him. The Lord bless His word to our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the great love, the great mercy, the wondrous grace. We do pray, O Lord, even in these days, that if there be one, whether it be in this building or listening on, Lord, and they're honest before Thee, they say that they are empty. They've tried the broken cisterns, but the water's failed. Well, Father, we ask Thee that they will come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Father, write Thy word upon our hearts. Bless us as we go from Thy house. Take us to our homes in safety. Bring us again this night, O God. Bring others with us. Lord, give us a blessed season in Thy house. In Jesus' name. Amen.